Are you a fan of horror movies?
Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead.
We're all cult classics.
Your move, creep.
If you are, you'll love Shocking Things. Please search for us on all the major podcasting platforms. To see our social media and a direct link to our podcast, please go to anchor.fm/shockingthings.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the PWZ Podcast. I am the Professor Rick Del Santo, and joining me, as always, each and every week, Showtime, Marcel Williams. What's going on?
What's going on? It's been a whole lot of news racking up for the last 2 weeks, and it's just been racking up. Every week is something new. We got people getting released. We got
people. Do we ever.
Rehab. Yeah.
Yes,
but we're gonna let you kick off with the first one.
Well, first off, I want to ask you, we're a couple days late in our episode this week, so we're gonna try not to do that. It's just sometimes life gets in the way, but some news has been exposed since then, and you know, we get to add a couple more shows in our weekly show this week. But has anything happened with Marcel over the weekend? I know that you were at Alley Fights the week. Was anything exciting happen?
Ah, I stepped in, check out Alley Fights for last weekend, and you know, just living the life and getting ready for November 13th for Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling Type 1.
That's a good segue, because that is first on my notes. This Saturday, of course, at the JCC of Greater New Haven, which is in Woodbridge, Connecticut, Paradise Alley presents Type 1 to None Round 3. It's a benefit for the benefit of juvenile diabetes relief. I got it right. It's going to be a huge show, because I was going through this list. Every title's on the line at this one show. We got a grudge match between you and Vlad. There's not just a lot of filler on this show. It's a big show for you guys this week.
Yes.
This is a big show. So I see a little visitor behind you.
She popped up. By my dog, Chi-Chi.
So one show that I'm that I'm really looking forward to is Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling Champion Matias taking on somebody that I really think is just awesome. He's colossal, in fact, Mike Law.
Yeah, it's going to be another championship match for Matias defending the biggest prize in Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling against Mike Law, which is another great talent who has came to PAPW a few times and you know, showed a lot of his great talents. So now we got two guys that are like real in their prime going at it for the top prize.
Tag team titles, The Haven taking on insanely rude. Trying not to mess that word up. So it's going to be like watching Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. It's going to be nonstop action throughout this match, I think.
Probably the first time ever match between the two. And I like to call it PAPW's past versus PAPW future. Because you had Zane LaRude and PAPW in the past. And now they're going for the tag team titles for Paradise Alley against the Haven.
On top of that, we have Flash Waller. Who is the Alley Fights champion taking on challenger, PAPW owner, and WWE legend Mario Mancini? I'm looking forward to this one.
This one's going to be title versus career. So Mario Mancini is looking to win his first championship ever. And if not, he's going to hang up the boots and just call it the end of the line. So it's title versus career between Flash Dustin Waller. He's going to murder me for calling Flash Dustin Waller. But Dustin Waller versus Mario Mancini.
I never say the Dustin. It's still Flash Waller to me.
Justin Waller.
On top of that, it's Paradise Alley United States Championship. Ichiban taking on Jay Bougie. This is another match that's going to be... This can go either way, really. I think both guys are just amazing talents. They're both young. They're up-and-comers. Ichiban is the United States champion. It's going to be from bell to bell. It's going to be nonstop action.
Yeah, it's another one of these matches that's good. Just like the Matias versus Mike Law match, is like a match of similar styles, but it's going to be each match is like a pick'em. You know what I'm saying? Each match is a pick'em. Is Ichiban is collecting all the good, not only for Paradise Alley, but Test of Strength as well, and other promotions. So Ichiban is racking them up, and Jay Bougie, he's also making the talk of the town in different tri-state area. So I'm looking forward to this match as well.
He's been making appearances at Paradise Alley, I guess, throughout the year, and he's one that's really impressed me. Like since he's arrived here, he really has. All right, on top of that, we've got Kylan King defending the Intercontinental title against Perfect Perkins. This one, it's a little mismatch in styles. Perkins is huge. He's going to tower over Kylan, but Kylan is, let's see, what's the word? He's been known to come through with certain struggles and come out victorious. So this is going to be an interesting match.
Yeah, this is going to be a different style of size versus speed. So I'm looking forward to this match as well. Another championship match, you know?
Yeah. Not to mention Showtime Marcel Williams will be taking on Vlad in a last man standing match. This match, I have a feeling this one's going to be brutal.
Yeah, it's a fight between two former friends. Me and him have been friends for years, and there's only a few people in his business that I have on one hand that call friends, and he's one of them. And he's going to try to like end me in this whole promotion called PAPW. Want to end everything that I work for. So basically, we just go put this to the end, me and him.
Now, you added two more matches, I guess, this week. Bloodsaw will be taking on Zachariah with Lucas Chase. Bloodsaw's had a little trouble with The Cure, and so I guess Zachariah is going to try his hand at taking out Bloodsaw for good.
Yeah, man. Bloodsaw requested, I heard he requested the match against Zachariah, and he just want to put an end to him so he can get his hands on Lucas Chase one-on-one.
Also added Lou Jacobs, Karen Bam Bam taking on Zafar and Jessica Nolan in a mixed tag team match. This is going to be an odd one, but I have a feeling it's going to be Jacobs and Bam Bam taking that win.
Yeah, hopefully. The saga between Lou Jacobs and Zafar Arahihi continuing, but it's in a different style.
Yep.
So it's a mixed tag team match. Probably one of few mixed tag team matches that Paradise Alley ever had. So looking forward to it.
Not to mention that. That's going to be, of course, this Saturday. Tickets are still available, correct? Or at the door, or can you get them in advance?
Tickets are sold only at the door, so just be there. There will be some more announcements probably tomorrow.
Okay.
But definitely tickets will be sold at the door. Front row, $30. General admission, $20. Few raffle prizes will be up for grabs. And like I said, all of it, you know, mostly portion of the proceeds is going to be donated to the JDRF fund for type 1 diabetes.
So it's worth it going down there. Not only do you get to witness some great professional wrestling action, you're donating to a great cause just buying that ticket. So take care of that. Go see it, and you're going to get a good show. I promise you. Take it from me. I've been to these shows before.
Been there. Yeah, <right. laughs>
Well, so we got a lot of news and wrestling talk to go through this week. One of the big news weeks, like I said, we've had a really weird 2 weeks, man, with professional wrestling. There was, 18 releases last week. I talked about that by my last week some point. You can go back and listen to it. Let's see, Ring of Honor decided that they were closing down. Now, what I'm seeing here is Sabu has announced his retirement. So, on another podcast, I believe it was out of England, if I'm not mistaken, that he just can't do it anymore, that he's having too many back and hip issues and neck issues, that it's actually finally caught up to him. I mean, you got to look at his entire career and see what he's done in that ring. How does the guy last this long to 2021 and last what? He's got to be what, 50? Probably, maybe a little bit older than 50. Like, that guy's banged up, man. He's been through barbed wire. He's been through tables. He's been through the concrete. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he's announcing his retirement.
Yeah, I mean, God bless him. 50 years old. I mean, you got Edge in them almost a third of 50 age, and even Undertaker, you know? And yeah, it's like, it's, they really didn't put their punishment with their body as much as Sabu did. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he decided to hang up the boots last week, and, you know, I'm glad that he's alive and living well. And, you know, it's a great decision, because longevity is the great word in wrestling, and he want to live the rest of his life without doing all this stuff that he used to do and continue to do.
So, there's a lot of... Sorry about that. He's had some great matches. You can go back through his entire career and look at some great matches. His series with Rob Van Dam, matches with Benoit. Benoit broke his neck by throwing him over the over his shoulder. I actually shared that clip to TikTok. He had great matches with Jerry Lynn. He had great matches with Terry Funk. He's had great matches in Japan for FMW. The guy, I mean, you name it.
Remember how big that was?
Yeah. Yeah, and you name it, man, this guy's done it in the business. He didn't last very long in WWE or WCW, but, you know, they just wanted to control him.
Yeah, they couldn't control him.
They couldn't control him. Yeah, so, but he has been everywhere, and he's been exciting anywhere he's been, really. On top of that, one of the big things that I don't think we talked about it last week was Jon Moxley instituted himself into rehab due to alcohol. It's one of those stay-in places. Inpatient, thank you. I couldn't think of the word. So, and now he's out of the tournament, and Miro has taken his place. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we wish Moxley the best of luck, and we hope that he's okay. Just puts the whole tournament in quite a pickle, though.
I know. You know, at the end of the day, the business still keep on rolling. But, you know, Moxley, he had the courage to sit here and go get help for his alcohol issue. And I respect it. Like CM Punk said, I respect him, because some people don't want to accept it. Some people don't, they want to be denial and all that stuff. So as he did, and as the people that continue to listen to us, and even family and friends, if you need help, go get the help. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Whatever addiction you have, it could be drug, it don't have to be drink, it could be anything. Whatever you need help, speak up, get the help. It's okay.
There's always somebody there for you to help you. You know, phone call away. That's it. You can just call somebody and somebody will help you, and you can get help. Seriously. I know a lot of people that went through the issues, and it's not easy.
You got, you know, family and friends, and you don't feel comfortable talking to them, you always could talk to a stranger. Just, you know, they'll listen. They'll listen.
You're right. On top of that, so Miro replaced Moxley in the tournament. He fought, we're going to go over Dynamite from last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it yet. It was another episode that was pretty damn decent, but we're going to talk about the match with Miro in the tournament. Opening match, I got to tell you, this match being 8 minutes, it really surprised me that it was really freaking good. The Kenny Omega in five.
Yes, it was really good.
This was a good fucking match, man. I love this match.
You know, he got his first contract through Kenny Omega, having their first match almost a few months ago. So, you know, I don't know whether it was like an added addition because of what happened with Moxley, but it was great added addition.
Yeah. On top of that, FTR defeated, this match I thought was great, Aerostar and Samurai Del Sol, who used to be Kalisto in WWE NXT, or Lucha House Party. No, all right. They defended the AAA tag team titles against them. This was a pretty, I mean, I'm gonna say anytime you put FTR in a ring, they're just gonna have a good match. All right. So, I mean, and this, you know, against Aerostar. Aerostar is a great wrestler. Kalisto is a great wrestler, or Samurai, whichever. This is a good freaking match. I actually really, really enjoyed this match.
A few hiccups with Aerostar, but it's absolutely wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't, like, get all crazy about it. But I enjoyed the match because FTR continue to show why they're the best tag team in the world. They could work with anybody.
I'm glad you just said that. They are the best tag team in the world. But, I mean, I think a lot of times when we're watching a lot of Lucha stuff or AEW, there's going to be hiccups. I'm not going to be sitting here and judge every single person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Especially watching luchadors, the guys that are doing high spots. You know what I mean? Constantly.
I don't got no problems.
Right. This match, the AEW TBS Championship, the Women's Championship, it was Jamie Hayter defeated Anna Jay. I don't really remember much about this match. It was about 6 minutes long. See, this is a week ago, you know, I can't remember everything.
I remember everything, a lot of shows, you know, but this match is probably one of the shortest in the tournament because last week was Serena Deeb and Shira. Oh, it was like a little, right?
Yeah.
So
Shida.
I mean, truly, we just seen the Queen of the Ring, Queen's Crown, or whatever. That was like.
This is better than that, though. This is better than that. I'm going to tell you. Andrade. Let me try to say this correct. El Idolo defeated Cody Rhodes. This match wasn't so bad.
It was okay. First ever meeting between the two.
Yeah. Andrade wasn't there when Cody was in WWE, huh? Two different periods, probably, but they missed each other by probably a couple years, huh? Yeah. Cody just has to meet everybody that's a former WWE star that comes into AEW, it seems. Try to launch them.
Not true.
No?
He lost.
I didn't say beat. No. I said meet, not beat. He lost. No, but he always tries to get them, launch them into the elite crowd. By putting them over.
Nah. You know what? I give it to him. He's doing the right thing because you know. And then all that is one of those matches that you never seen before too. Like even Malachi, he comes in. That was the first ever meeting. They never met before, so. I like the way Cody be doing it. He want to work all the new talent that comes in and makes them look good, too. You know, I sit there and try to, like, I mean, we all know it's, you know, it matters. Wins and loss matters, and he know it matters when they first come in.
Right. Wins and loss matters. Right. Of course, this is the match that we were talking about, or that I mentioned earlier. Miro defeated Orange Cassidy. I expected this to be just a flat-out murder. Didn't quite go that way, even though it only lasted about 7 minutes. So Miro won, came out victorious, and Cassidy did have a couple spots here and there.
Yeah. It you know what? The match is built the way it's supposed to be built. So
right.
I knew Miro was going to destroy this guy. So
right.
Next up, we got Miro versus Bryan Danielson.
Okay. Making sure you say that. Right. You saw my eyebrows lift. So. Which I think that match is going to freaking be a really good match. Because if you notice, like, the last month, every time Miro comes out and wrestles, he's killing it, man. He's been putting on some really good matches lately.
Let's not talk about Bryan Danielson. You know, he's been killing it as well. So these two together is going to be really great.
Yeah, and Danielson's just been putting on classic after classic. But so I'm looking for that. That's this Saturday. But unfortunately, you know, there's another show in town that everybody should go to. Buy the pay-per-view the next day and watch it. Or maybe when you get home at night.
Yes. Okay.
So AEW Rampage from Friday. And everybody was talking about this because of a particular segment. But we'll get into that in a minute. We'll get into that in a second. But Bryan Danielson defeated Anthony Bowens with Max Caster. Caster came out rapping and basically talking shit to Danielson, not only into Danielson, but he ripped on John Laurinaitis in his rap, and I was just fucking laughing my ass off. How many people really knew that John Laurinaitis is Danielson's father? That's so I just like burst out laughing when I heard that because well you know, all the all the future endeavors as of late. So it was just kind of perfect timing for that situation.
Talk about that a bit. He really put as I say in my area, he put Brian Danielson on blast. So but the match itself was real good. Like I said, it continues to me. I mean, he hasn't had a bad match yet in AEW.
No.
I'm sitting here like, dang, like keep continue doing it.
My thing is this, okay? This is Brian Danielson. Okay. At one time, you know, I could probably still say the same about the guy, that he's the best in the world. He really is.
Yes.
I said this 10, 15 years ago when he was in Ring of Honor, when he was in WWE, where he was doing whatever. He continues to be the best in the world, literally. Yes. I think that there was times in WWE that they had no idea what to do with him, so he had to go out there and get squashed against somebody or whatever, you know what I mean? Until they basically let him kind of do what he can do in the ring. You know what I mean? It was just, but
I mean, right now he's at the magnitude where everybody know who he is right now. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's starting to see what he can really do. There's no restrictions. Yes. He has every match different type of submission or different finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, it's just guy is legit the best in the world, and you know he proved that by leaving the big brand. So that, you know, the big brand.
I'm going to skip over the next segment. We can come back to it in just a second because I kind of want to elaborate a little bit more. But of course, the TBS tournament match, Red Velvet defeated the Bunny. This one is 3 minutes and 34 seconds, probably as long as any match in the Queen's Crown tournament. If not longer, this is probably considered a classic if this was part of that tournament because of the length. But this really did nothing for me, to be honest. It really did nothing.
Yeah, it's just one of those tournament matches that had to happen so they could face Jade Cargill, which you already know that she probably ended up advancing whoever it was, which was Red Velvet.
Who's your pick to win the tournament? Who's your pick?
Either Ruby Soho.
Okay.
Or Thunder Rosa.
Okay. I'm going with Thunder Rosa, but I would not be disappointed if Ruby Soho won. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm a huge Thunder Rosa fan. I mean, I really enjoy Ruby as well, but Thunder Rosa is personally one of my favorite wrestlers today. Not just women, just one of my favorite wrestlers today.
I'd be surprised if Jade Cargill makes it to the finals, but
okay.
Thunder Rosa.
I didn't think she would make it to the finals either. So we'll have to see. That's when's that happening? It's going to continue all the way through December, right? Up until
January, probably to January, the first ever TBS episode, which was announced the other day, will be at the Prudential Center.
Where is that?
New Jersey.
Oh. Somebody at my job was talking about that today because they're probably going to that. But of course, there's one coming up next month in Long Island. So I plan on trying really hard to attend that. So,
There we go.
Let's do this, man. Let's do this. Of course, they really hyped this one up, on Wednesday? Was it for Dynamite during the promos? And this ended pretty much how I anticipated. Adam Cole defeated John Silver, Johnny Hungy, whatever you want to call him. They were so this another match like John Silver. I don't know. I don't think he's terrible, but he's one of those guys that's got like the cult following type following. You know what I mean? Like because of his friends and stuff, and being the elite. What's that?
He has charisma.
Okay. Yeah, And I hear he's really funny on that show, the YouTube show, but I don't watch that. So this is all right. I mean, I didn't expect it to end any other way other than Adam Cole defeating John Silver.
But here's another guy, Adam Cole, coming in, showing why he's good too, you know, while he continues to have great match after great match. Even Young Bucks are without.
Yeah. I think Adam Cole, like, coming in, man, I was talking about that today with somebody. It was like, I wasn't surprised when he showed up, but at that pay-per-view, was it in September, right?
All in.
Everybody was saying, oh, Danielson's going to show up. And when his music hit, I was like, oh, shit, it's Adam Cole, you know? But then, of course, Danielson's music hits just, like, a couple minutes later. So it was just like, it's kind of... they got you the 2-for-1 in that deal, man. It was pretty exciting to watch. And Adam Cole has been delivering since his arrival. No slowing down for that guy. So, of course, let's talk about the big segment that we're talking about, which took up now. I'm looking at this, okay? I have the times for all these matches. 9 minutes and 4 seconds, 3 minutes. It's basically a half hour's worth of matches here. Does that mean the Punk and Kingston promo took up just about a half an hour? Just about? Maybe now, let's insert commercials and stuff, you know. So.
Yeah, a few promos in between as well that was setting up certain matches.
Yeah. So everybody's making the big deal about this being like the greatest promo of all time, the whole interaction between them. Now I'm going to say it was really freaking good.
It was good.
It was really good. And I like the fact that they just kept making reference after references to, like, they made so many references to, like, Ring of Honor and the indie scene in the early 2000s with basically without saying, mentioning the name Ring of Honor. And they brought up guys like Homicide and, help me out here, somebody else. so,
yeah,
these two, Eddie Kingston.
Amazing Red.
Yes, Amazing Red. I was so surprised to hear that name. I was like, oh, damn. So, it was really just awesome to, like, you know, it's awesome to see Eddie Kingston on the platform. I remember when this guy was working the Knights of Columbus Hall around the corner from my house. So watching him 20-something years ago to a crowd of maybe 100, you know, and now here this guy is working his ass off, and now he's on national television. And that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. This guy's the greatest talker, I think. One of the greatest talkers, didn't get that attention for years. But now here he is on my TV cutting some of his best promos ever out of anybody on television.
Mm-hmm. Now, I enjoy the promo. The promo was real good. Promos right here. And, yeah. You know, the truth was being thrown in the air. You know, I shared locker rooms with Eddie Kingston. He's a cool guy. I did it back in the day at the Knights of Columbus was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I was green as drizzling. So, you know, dude is cool, but, you know, maybe he had his errors or, you know, whatever in life or whatever, but, you know, it didn't stop him for where he is now. So, right. You know, this moment right here between him and CM Punk, it was real good. You know, like I said, both of them great on the mic, and there was so many digs that going into full gear, you can't wait to see this match. You know it's going to be a great match.
Absolutely is. I think it's just going to be, it's going to be a classic. And mind you, they're guys like in their 40s. And, you know, that's when people in life start to slow down a little bit as they're getting older. Yeah, typical. These guys, I mean, but who didn't though? Flair was out there in the 40s in the 1980s doing some of his best work.
Yes.
Working Steamboat, working Sting, working Luger, Nikita, right? These guys here are going to be able to do the same exact thing like Flair was in the 80s in their 40s. And it's a completely different time. It's a, without making fun of or putting down the era that I'm referring to. But these guys, it's a little bit more athletic in a way now. You know what I mean? They're doing different stuff than, say, Flair and Steamboat were at that time period.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in that water in this day. Yeah. And so. Right. The new 40 is like the new kind of like 30. So
right, yes.
whatever age that you are right now, 40 or 50, you got AJ Styles and all these guys that's almost near 50, and they still doing springboards. So, going into this match in full gear is going to be real good. I'm going to enjoy it.
That's this Saturday. I think it's on Bleacher Report. Is Fight carrying it?
It's on Bleacher Report. It will not be on Fight TV. It's also on Sling TV. It's also on YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. They're Fight TV was a one-time deal for All In, and now the Bleacher Report got their stuff together, so you can watch on Bleacher Report.
It's weird because I remember when Bleacher Report was giving their pay-per-views away for free a couple times, the AEW ones. He was trying to get them at some attention back in the day, back when those happened, but
yeah,
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. All right, so we had it is Tuesday into Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. So I just watched Monday Night Raw. I I'm usually used to saying Sunday into Monday. So
right, change times.
Exactly.
Run-ins every week.
Monday Night Raw. I'm going to ask you before we start breaking it down, getting into it. Thumbs up or thumbs down? I'm being completely honest.
I give it a thumbs up. If we're starting to push new talent that they're doing the draft. I still continue to be with the down because it's a continuous promo in the beginning, which is a formula that continues to be. I'm not even gonna complain about it. I'm not even gonna say I'm stressed about it because I know in the beginning I was being promoted Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
No reason for Seth Rollins to come out and do a 20-minute promo. None. Well, you already told me when I came in to the room that Kevin Owens was versus Seth Rollins. You already told me.
He came out, he was holding that contract, he was doing all this crap. But by the way, I just want to mention something about this. And then I'll give you my review or my rating of this.
Yeah.
That fucking jacket that he wore coming out, that blue leather trench coat. Mm-hmm. Hideous. Hideous. I don't know what they're doing with his wardrobe, with him coming out looking like a cheap salesman in those crazy looking suits.
I swear to God, I thought he was in his pajamas.
No, yeah, like those are the suits that he's wearing. He looks like he's wearing. Like, it's just insane looking. So I'm going to tell you, I did not hate this Raw. I did not. Far from it.
You hate it.
Because you're going to hear me say 90% of the time, I'm like, God, I hate that show. I hated that show. And I say it each and every week. This show, I have to say, was one of the most positive Raws I've seen in probably all year. There's something about it. I don't know what it was. I'm obviously comparing this to, like, say, Dynamite. I'd probably still choose Dynamite. I'm not going to say there was nothing barn burner about this episode. That would make me say, oh, damn, I got to tune in. But the flow of it, the action was pretty decent for the most part, with the exception of a couple things that we'll get into. It was pretty good. The segments weren't necessarily over-annoying. We had two heel turns, basically, through the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't call one a heel turn, maybe question.
They're building it up, at least.
They are building it up.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to be taken. We'll find out next Monday, I guess. Or is there a pay-per-view next week? Next weekend?
No, I know it's Tribute to the Troops this Sunday.
Oh, Survivor Series, dumbass. Survivor Series is the following weekend, right? Not this next. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm the dumbass. I was trying to. Anyway, so we opened up with hideous. What's that?
There's so many pay-per-views to catch up
with. Oh, God, there's too much to keep up with. I just watched the XPW pay-per-view, too, the Rebirth pay-per-view.
How you like it?
Have you watched it at all? I'm going to tell you. It literally, this guy, the owner, Rob Black, whatever, yada, yada, kept promoting it. They were really going crazy promoting it. It looked like there was about 60 people in the crowd. I'm not kidding. The arena was so dark. I was like, what the hell? I was like, you couldn't tell how many people were in until there was action on the floor and they were actually going through with the cameras. Then you could see the people. And it was literally like nobody. You could tell there was empty seats in the front row. I found out they were charging $100 for front row seats. $100. So, yeah, I see your face. This is ridiculous because my thing is XPW was never that big to begin with during the original incarnation. It was a West Coast thing, okay? It was not really well known over here on the East Coast other than the rivalry with ECW or if you were into that deathmatch thing. That's not like a gigantic thing. And the VHS tapes, they sold on like the FYE or whatever it was called at the time. Holy shit. The show was okay, actually. It wasn't that bad. So it was actually pretty decent, despite the fact that, you know, they were overcharging for tickets and nobody showed up. I don't know how many fight buys they got, though. All right, so back to Raw. I don't know. They probably got more buys on fight through longtime fans. And I'm thinking, it was just like, just that Dark Side of the Ring just aired, what, 2 weeks ago? That probably did nothing for him, too. It just probably made him look like a scumbag. So why would people want to buy that? Our first match on Monday Night Raw. I got to tell you, the segment with Riddle. In the beginning, Riddle and Orton and the Street Profits. I didn't hate that. First time ever, I got to say that I did not hate Riddle automatically said, God, I got to shut this off. It was actually pretty comical. Right now, he's playing Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, if you remember that movie.
Yes, I do.
Just reminds me of him. That's it. Like with the stupid lines and stuff. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't have enough coffee and I was half asleep. I have no idea. So it ended up being AJ Styles almost and the Dirty Dogs. Dolph and Rude defeated Orton, Riddle, and the Street Profits in an 8-man tag team match. This took up, damn, between that Seth segment and this, that was almost the first hour.
Yep, it did.
That's pretty much the first hour.
It's a 3-hour count.
Yeah. This wasn't bad. It was.
Okay, man, tag. And also, I want to say, Bobby Roode is in great shape right now.
He's like my age. But that dude is, I mean, but I'm, you know, fat and out of shape. But that dude is fucking, he's like one of the best, he's like one of the best talents out there today. How is he stuck in a tag team? Like a tag team that would basically work like main event half the time.
It's the WWE, man. He's in great shape. He can work. He can talk. Don't know.
And we came back, and I believe there was a segment with Adam Pearce, right, in the ring, talking to the Mysterios and saying that they're going to have to, if Dominic loses a match, you know, because all the guys, I'm sorry, I messed up the words. The whole Raw team is all former Raw champions, with the exception of Dominic. He's got to wrestle, if he loses his match tonight, then he's off the team. It's going to be replaced, and out comes Bobby Lashley. So, and basically, Dominic Mysterio pretty much got murdered by Bobby Lashley in about 5 minutes. Bobby Lashley's a beast, dude. That dude. You don't like this segment?
Nah, I like this segment, but this one right here is trying to do a run-in. But anyway, listen.
Ah.
So, it was the right thing to do. I don't know if Adam Pearce is really a heel because, one, like,
see,
Dominic really deserved the spot.
Yeah.
Dominic really deserved the spot. Why Lashley really wasn't on the team in the first place.
Right. I'm still trying to figure out because I was like, did something happen the last couple of weeks? Because Adam Pearce, throughout the entire night, kept coming off as a heel to me. So,
yeah, but the thing is, why the thing I don't get is why are you caring about what happened on Raw when you've been on Raw and SmackDown for the last few months? now, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It just all of a sudden, now all of a sudden you care about who's on Team Raw or what's going on. So I just don't understand it. But you know, it's just I just wish they did the draft a different way where Adam Pearce was on Raw and then, you know,
You realize that half the time he's running from show to show most of the time. He goes back and forth, it seems.
And he's giving out $1 million fines and stuff. And
yeah.
So it's like, dude, which show are you on? You care about who's on Team Raw. But, you know, I'm glad that Lashley been added to the team because Dominik was kind of like an oddball.
Yeah, because, I mean, I bet you they realize, like, I don't know. Like, maybe they just are like, oh man, we're not going to have a segment for Monday, so we got to figure something out. Or like, oops, what are we going to do with Lashley for Survivor Series? And then, who knows? Big E defeated Chad Gable in just under 5 minutes. This was all right. I mean, it was like 5 minutes. It's what can you do, really?
It could have been better, but yeah.
Considering Chad Gable is freaking really talented, but
Chad Gable's real good.
Yeah, he is. I kind of like what they're doing. Take this the wrong way. Kind of like what they're doing with him and Otis a little bit. They made like a tag team. Otis is a legit amateur wrestler as well. So they kind of team those two guys up. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I liked it was doing on SmackDown. It's just now they got Chad Gable as singles on Raw while he's on the sideline a little bit. So I don't know if it's an injury or something, but I like the tag team together, even though they broke from each tag team, both of them.
Yeah, well, the other guy was it Chad Gable's partner. Was it Jason Jordan? Right. Didn't he break his neck or something?
He got injured. He's behind the scenes. But then you had Otis, which was with Tucker.
Yep. Yeah, and then they released Tucker after they split him up because Otis was like really over for a while, and then all of a sudden they just decided to change him and make him serious and a heel, and now nobody cares, it seems. Like,
nobody cares now.
Yeah, and they gave him the money in the bank and then took the money in the bank away. I think that was kind of fucked up, like in a way. I really thought that, this is my opinion, I was like, the guy's like really over in this comedic character, the crowd's constantly going nuts, giving them the belt, even if it's only for a day, 24 hours, right?
They didn't have to give him a belt. They could have just let him defend it. I mean, let him cash it in.
Because he lost it to The Miz, right? Now the most chaotic part of the evening. Okay. You all know how I hate this belt, and I've said it. It's been around for about 3 years now, this title, right? It's got to be about 3 years, maybe. 24/7... title went from, it was long, I got the whole list here, Drake Maverick defeating Reggie, Akira Tozawa defeating Drake Maverick, Corey Graves came out of retirement for about 30 seconds and defeated Akira Tozawa, Byron Saxton defeated Corey Graves.
Our retirement too, I guess.
Yeah. Drake Maverick won it again, second time in the evening. Defeated Byron Saxton. And then Reggie came back and defeated Drake Maverick again. Whew, that was rough. That was hard to sit through.
That was a lot of writing down. I appreciate
it. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, I type it all out, dude. So type it all out. And then this is the thing. You don't understand what I do for this show. I got to pay attention to detail. Of course, there was the women's segment in the back with the Women's Survivor Series team. Everybody's complaining, yada, yada. I'm not a part of the team. And then that they want a shot at the women's title. All that bullshit, blah, blah, blah. This is where one of the first heel turns, I'm taking it as Doudrop turning heel because she comes in complaining, being kind of bitchy with Adam Pearce and the lady's name? I forgot her name. That lady. So it just ended up. Yes, thank you. I can't like.
Yeah, I forgot her name earlier, and I thought you were going to catch it, but I obviously forgot. Just like
there's so many. Like, I mean, this is a 3-hour program. It's hard to remember everybody's name. They get so much on the show. This was a ridiculous segment. You know, they're all arguing, but then they end up having a fatal 5-way women's match. Liv Morgan defeated Carmella, Queen Zelina, Bianca, and Rhea Ripley in a 5-way match to become the number one contender for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. 16 minutes. Okay. This was really decent. Okay. I'm not going to say it's really good, but it's really decent, pretty decent. I really thought they were going to give it to Bianca, but I'm just like, they keep doing the Bianca Becky thing. So they can't always have it. Yeah, exactly. It's like this week, take that week off and then move forward another week.
If you tried to win it, it would have been last week. If you didn't do it, you might just give her the break.
Right. And that's pretty much my opinion. I pretty much like this match. So we get to see Seth Rollins for about another 20 plus minutes. The end. I'm so lucky I get to see it. You know, the funny thing part about this, I was thinking, now one time during the evening in the ring, there was Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, and Adam Pearce. That was like the golden age of Ring of Honor, those three together in the same segment, which I was just like, God damn, that's so freaking awesome to see these three together. But now they're in the WWE ring as opposed to like a Ring of Honor ring.
Yes.
Anyways, that's just my rant. Time. Yeah. Yeah. Seth Rollins. There's a lot of going on. Maybe I'm just thinking about Ring of Honor a lot because they're going down, they're shutting down in December. So I'm adding up things like that. So anyways, Seth Rollins defeated Kevin Owens by count out. They were battling outside. Owens went to go move and Big E was in his way because they slammed into Big E's chair or whatever. They went to go move. So Owens, pissed off, turned around and attacked Big E. Heel turn number two, maybe on the show, maybe number one. So, yeah, and this is the probably the 100th time in WWE that Owens has turned heel. But I like the way this happened, though. Yeah, I like the way this happened.
I don't think it's heel turn because the history that they try to throw in our faces with Kevin Owens used to do, which he did to Chris Jericho, Sami Zayn, and all these people. So now we should believe him, but I think it's going to be like the false turn where he's not going to turn. It's just something that Seth Rollins just continues and to throw the Kool-Aid toward Big E.
He's going to continue to taunt him. Yeah, that's the one thing I forgot to mention is basically he was like seeking forgiveness throughout the roster, throughout the first, like the whole 3 hours, basically saying, I'm not the man I used to be, yada, yada. So, which I thought was very interesting. He kept saying that. So, I mean, I guess you're right. Anything could happen. I mean, by next Monday, he could either actually be a heel or it's possible that it's going to be one of those.
Everybody thought it'd be kind of turn because he did what he did with Kevin Owens, but it really right. wasn't. It was just trying to watch himself. And his surroundings.
What do you think of Big E as a champion currently? I think he's doing a pretty damn good job so far.
Good job. I think you just need a line of challenges for him.
Yes. That's the other. Well, if they stop firing everybody, they'll have people to put up against him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just saying. I mean, I think that, you know, I literally was under the impression because I had heard this before. I don't know. You know, that there was going to basically be a transitional thing for him as champion. But obviously that's proving to be wrong because he's been, what, over a month now champion?
And Survivor Maybe. Series, so.
Yeah.
Him versus Roman Reigns, I guess.
That's not a title match, right? That's a non-title match?
Champion versus champion.
Okay.
Back for supremacy type stuff.
We'll see. I could already tell you who's going to win that match.
Yes.
Yes. You're not going to see.
Big E wins.
Yeah. Me too. I don't think you're going to see. I don't think we're going to see Roman lose anytime soon. Like, at all. I'm sitting here. Well, who the hell is he going to face? Right? Who is going to beat him? Still, Brock hasn't. And that's the only guy I can choose of. think of. But then again, I was thinking about this earlier today. I was like, what about The Rock? Because they're actually teasing. You know, Rock did an interview last 2-3 days. He said that he thinks that he still has one more run within him. So it's like, is that a tease? Because, I mean, the rumors have been floating for probably the last 2 years that he's going to come back and they're going to, him and Roman are going to wrestle. And obviously, the last year since Roman turned heel, it's been, those rumors have been even heavier. It could happen, I'm thinking.
Hey, they need to sell out that AT&T Stadium.
That's the one in Hollywood, right? And you're right, because I think that he's supposed to be coming in 2023.
A year after.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. I mean, I wouldn't be. I think that's going to sell out whatever arena it's in. I think it's because Roman, I hate to say this, he's the best going today in WWE. Anything that's really the real reason to tune into WWE right now.
Absolutely.
There's not much else to make you say, hey.
He's a special attraction to SmackDown.
Exactly. Absolutely. On top of that, we had more Ring of Honor news. I guess they did a, what's that, third quarter earnings report for the company. Did you hear about this?
Ring of Honor or WWE?
Ring of Honor. I talked about the WWE one, but this is for Ring of Honor's Sinclair Broadcasting. You ready for this? They were in debt $12 million.
What was that?
Through Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor.
Yes. In debt.
So that's I guess we know why.
We know why they're shutting down and rebranding. Not to mention, I also heard this Sinclair Broadcasting, which is Ring of Honor's parent company, is also going to be airing Women of Wrestling superheroes, WOW superheroes, on all of their broadcasting channels as well. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it either. I find that bizarre as well.
$12 million. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. And so, I mean, they weren't drawing any people, and not to mention, they were closed for over a year, pretty much a year, not doing any live gate.
Yeah.
They're pretty much relying on distribution deals and merchandising sales.
And continue to pay the talent while pandemic, so that adds up too. You give out money, people on payroll that you're not even having to use. Which, God bless them, they did the right thing, but look at the price that they pay.
Yeah.
They're in debt now.
How many companies were able to do that, though? That's the other thing. Not many. Nope. So that's pretty much all the news that we've got for this week. Is there anything else you want to... What's that?
Jesus.
Oh, shit. The releases. Hang on. Let me get to my list here. Let me see. Do I have my releases here? I did have them. It might be in my other notebook. Hang on. Let's talk about the which part?
It's important ones. The,
Keith Lee, probably one of that, somebody that I predicted to be the biggest star in the company. And who's just fluttered since coming to the main roster because of them, not because of him. Change your ring music 3 times, change your outfit, change your name. No wonder. Okay? It's ridiculous.
Karrion Kross?
Karrion Kross, the second gentleman that I said I literally said that dude is going to be a huge fucking star. I said that when he was in Impact. I said, this guy's awesome. He goes to WWE. And he kills it in NXT. That's the thing. It's like these guys really will kill it in NXT. But once they're brought up to the main roster, some of these guys, Vince just has no fucking clue what to do with. And that's, yeah. And I mean, all you got to do is put them, these guys in just a really good storyline. Meet them with somebody else. Yeah. And instead they give him some weird gladiator helmet or something from the black hole or some stupid stuff. Like, he just looked ridiculous.
We had Nia Jax as well, which was...
I was shocked. That one, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit shocked at that one. That was just a really, really weird firing, because I literally thought that she was bred in, you know, WWE NXT, Roman's cousin. She had requested some mental health leave and then disappeared. Like, they just let her go.
Yeah. And, you know, there was more releases that was, I don't got them on the top of my head, but those was like mostly the major ones, like Eva Marie. They just hired her. And yeah. B-Fab was definitely B-Fab. A shocker for me. You just brought Hit Row to the main roster.
Was I still on camera? Did I get lost yet?
Not yet.
What's that?
You're still good.
Okay. I might have the list here on my computer here, so. Just waiting for it to open the whole list. Yeah, B-Fab, she just signed her main roster contract the week before getting let go.
Signed it, yes.
So that's you know. Okay, I got the list here. Frankie Monet, who was Taya Valkyrie in Impact, that's John Morrison's wife. Scarlett Bordeaux.
I think it's the wife of Karrion Kross.
Yep.
Or
no, she's the wife or girlfriend of Karrion Kross. Mia Yim, who is Keith Lee's girlfriend. Harry Smith, who has only worked dark matches since coming back to WWE.
So just got hired.
Yeah, in the last couple of months. Ember Moon. Lying. Yeah,
Ember Moon. Because they never gave her a chance.
Yep, they had no idea what to do with her, it seemed like, ever since she came back from injury. Oney Lorcan, he's already out there looking for bookings for when his show, or for when his contract expires, the clause expires. He's on YouTube doing YouTube videos. Trey Baxter, a.k.a. Blake Christian, he's going to be making two appearances in GCW in December. As soon as his 30-day clause is up, he's already booked for that 30th day. Lucha House Party members Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. Let's see.
He already.
Yeah. So. Let's see. A couple of names I'm not too familiar with. Latrina Cortez, Jesse Camilla, Jeet Rama, and Zeta Ramir. So I think some of those were NXT talents, correct?
Like developmental talents. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I say, like I said earlier, I wish them well, because like losing a job now is not good, especially with ROH, what just happened, and AOL.
You're going back like 25 years with that one.
AEW is kind of like full right now. New Japan ain't looking too good right now. And hopefully, you know, AOL does make a promotion. Maybe that may works out.
There is, don't forget, we always got, AEW is going to pick who they want out of that group. And, you know, I could already tell you two guys who I think that's going to go over there. I just said it, Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, Killer Kross. I would not be surprised to see those two show up there at all. I wouldn't really be surprised if Oney Lorcan showed up there. But most likely I can't see him really going there. Now that Ring of Honor is closing, I don't think, you know, the options, you know, there's always Impact. There's always, what's the other one? MLW. So a lot of those guys, I think some of those guys will go there. I think Oney Lorcan will probably go there. Blake Christian will probably make some appearances there. God knows, I think Taya Valkyrie could probably really add something to the women's division of AEW, because they were in dire need of it. Yeah. Taya Valkyrie, yeah. Not necessarily a question. Not really a question. It was just kind of a...
I'm night-driven. So maybe basically,
that's
yeah,
all right. That's a
asset bullshit. Like AEW, I wouldn't be. You go to Impact Wrestling, so Impact Wrestling.
But she can't go to Impact. She was murdered or went and carried off to jail or something at the end of when.
Up the AEW after being poisoned, it can happen.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, if people come back after being killed on soap operas, I guess, you know, they can come back there and rest. Yeah. That was a thing that was always popular when we were younger. I don't know now, but I just think that some of these people will be very popular, and I think there's homes for...
No, you know, just to be real, there are some that promotions may not even want. I'm just going to be real about it. But, you know...
I'm... He's still looking for work. So, I mean,
you know.
I think from what I heard that it is a possibility he's going to be making an appearance at an Impact at some point. Braun Strowman, God knows. I don't think it's really going to add anything to Impact, just like he didn't add anything to Raw or SmackDown.